excited to be here to moderate this amazing conversation with Wisdom Fashion House. So you definitely want to bring up. Stand up. We're going to clap them in. And we're going to show love. Can we do that? All right, cool. Come on, my brother. Let's go. I said stand up. All right, look. All right, here we go. The reason why I did that, I think it's important to highlight the wins that entrepreneurs go through. The journey is amazing. It's hard. You have moments where you're crying, moments where things are not going the way you want. But I think it's always to show as much energy as possible because they need it. You know what I'm saying? So we're excited to be here to have an amazing conversation with my brother. For you guys that may not know me, my name is Archie Clay III. Entrepreneur, creative, all things amazing for myself, but it's not about me today. My boy Latif. So, if you don't mind, please introduce yourself, man. We'll go ahead and get it started.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you for introducing me. And one, it's just like when I came in, I had to like slow down and thank God because throughout this journey of creating this thing, but also like just following my dreams and being true to myself. It's like I've never been in a room like when I come in and it's a panel I'm asked to be on. It's just one seat, so I had to first thank God. Like, okay, cool. You know, this is a huge milestone for me. It means a lot. So thanks, TK. Yeah,
I clap
appreciate
it. Up.
It. Yeah. And my name is Latif Yahya. I am 29 now. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, raised in Stone Mountain, and that's where I created Wisdom.
Wait, you from the mound?
Yeah, that's where I was raised.
Where's you went to?
I went to Redan.
I went to Stone Mountain?
Yeah. So you
we saw the east side in the building today. Yeah. But no, man, I've been watching you for a minute, man. I know how difficult the journey can be, especially within the space of product, right? Trying to find your journey, trying to push forward and make it happen. Kind of give them the backstory of like,
a lot right there. Where it all started, I think, like, you know, being raised in in Stone Mountain from Brooklyn, like, you know, I came here when I was really young, but every time I went back home, I was in a house full of, sisters and brothers that were from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. So it was like first a culture shock because you got on the bus and then people talk hella different, and then I had to get adjusted because like it was just like a complete different language and like how people act. So right. I was like, okay, cool. Like first I would like distance from it a little bit and like right. Situation being raised over there. It was like I always looked around me and felt like it was, you know, seeing New York and then coming to Atlanta, you could see more for yourself. Like,
right.
Oh, I seen it like this. What if I could do this way? So I think a lot of that, like, ambition I carried, you know, just being young and being like, and also, you know, we wasn't raised in, like, poverty, but it was, like, not that easy. Like, my mom was a single mom. She has experienced being a widow over three times. And so, and she had 9 children. And so when she had me and my sister, it was just, we were the last two. And being in that situation, I think just like seeing my mom work and hustle and like, do it by herself was like one of the biggest things to me because I used to feel her pressure. Like she's like, oh, if she's stressed about bills, I didn't even know what a bill was, but I was stressed for her. Like,
right.
And so like, I say all that to say, it always made me see the things around me and not be complacent.
Right.
Like, okay, you know, I don't want to stay over here too long, be cool with these people too long. I want to move around and expand myself. So. situation where I was hanging out with some of my closest friends at the time, but they were like in the streets.
Right.
And we
were they on Central Drive?
Say that again?
Were they on Central Drive?
No, they was on, we was on Panola.
Oh, y'all on Panola, okay.
Like, you know, like, even worse. Like, just in the cut. It wasn't the hood, but it was like, you know, you got people going off on a tangent, and you got a culture being pushed. So eventually it becomes the hood. So, you know, being around them, they used to do illegal shit, and then I used to be with them, and like, they're like, oh, Latif, no, don't come with us. Like, Latif don't want to do this type shit. And I used to be like, you know, like, I want to come because he's said, nah,
can be grounded.
Nah, pretty grounded, not complacent. And so I think I had like a shock when I was in ninth grade and reading. I was with them after school. We skipped school and we were running, like we were just going to smoke. In the process, my friend Dre at the time, he was like, we was chilling. He was like, my brother told me never stop for the police. He just said that as we was leaving school. So we just talking about it. As we out there, we see a cop car. So he just darts, runs. So we all run. So we like, you know, in the back of somebody's house, like hiding. And eventually that turns out to us actually running from the police and getting caught. And I didn't know, like, this is me being a kid. I don't know what's about to happen next because I don't know what he has on him, what they think we were doing. They stopped us and said it was a house robbery. So they told us that was us. And but they took the crazy part, they took us back to school. But in that process, it was like, nah, I can't, you know,
can't be doing this,
can't do this anymore. And I think being at Redan with no windows and also teachers with very like short
no like, energy,
no energy to deal with the kids. And like, you know, I think those all led me to look, I may not go to college or I may not, you know, blase blah, like whatever that image of success was that I felt, you know, was what they were aiming me towards. I think for me, I just threw that out. And in that process, I found things that inspired me. So my sister Rashida, she bought me my first MP3 player, and she had two songs on it. I think it had Kiss Kiss by Chris Brown, and then it had what else was
that
on
there?
That
was a song, man? Right there. Y'all remember that song? That
was, and it had something else, man. I can't remember. I want to say Mrs. Officer Lil Wayne, something crazy. But these two songs made me dive into hip-hop fully. Right. I was like, I went back to get the Illmatic. I went back to get Ready to Die. I went back to get Reasonable Doubt. And just her giving me that MP3 influenced me to, like, find my taste level in music. In the same breath, I was also, like, into sneakers. So I figured out how to, you know, stop asking my mom for money. And was like, I want those sneakers, so how do I get them? In that process, I used to do graphic design and, like, when MySpace was popping, so I used to do people MySpace pages.
Oh, you full entrepreneur.
Yeah, I was going all the way. And then I also used to, like, do my homie Chico. We used to journey, like, sneaker con events. And I'll buy a pair of sneakers from the design money. Buy the sneakers. It's the Jordan 1s, Breads, or the Jordan 5 Olives, or, like, the 8 Peapods. And I'll get them, wear them. So everybody's like, oh, I see you got every damn pair of J's. Like, it's fly. So I had that going. And also, like, the design work was crazy. And so I remember, like, buying and trading sneakers. So I would have, like, all the shoes. And I was thinking, like, I'm selling, like, Bape, Supreme, Air Jordan, Nike, New Balance. Like, what if I made my own, like, would I be, you know, people are buying my graphics, so what if I put my graphics on a shirt and a hoodie or whatever? So I went and then sat in class, me and my friend, Cheerio Nate, and this boy, this kid, man, I don't know his real name, we called him Boosie. He looked like Lil Boosie. So we just sit in Spanish class, and our teacher name was Miss GB. I'll never forget Miss Gregory Bryant. And I drew the logo, just drew it, first take, like, I like this. This is wisdom. I showed them. And it was like, it's hard. But in that process, I drew like a whole bunch more logos. I was like, no, I don't like wisdom. And I don't really think that's the thing. I don't know. Like, so I drew a whole bunch of them, and it brought me right back to wisdom.
What brought you back to that?
It was like the fact that it took one try. The other ones I kept overthinking. And I was like, and that was one of the lessons of, like, in life, the things that come easy are usually the thing, well, I wouldn't say come easy, the things that are natural are usually the thing you should lean in towards. and the things that cause overthinking is usually you saying no. Like, that's pretty much what's happening. It's just like you just saying whatever. You could call it your God, your angels, they're telling you no. That's why you're overthinking the situation. So that was like one of the lessons there first. And so I went back to Wisdom, and around there I was listening to Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa, 10 Deep was going crazy.
Right.
Supreme, The Hundreds, like this, that era right
that was
there.
The
was
era
like
of
nuts.
Like streetwear, graphic tees, and all that.
Yeah, so those things right there is what like structured Wisdom. I was like, I want to be like them. Like, right. I want to compete. And what I did, I was a class clown a little bit, so I just excited when the teacher called on me or like I had a moment to make a joke. I was like, oh, yeah, it's on. I'm about to go crazy. So I remember, like, I used to be known for that, like, saying wild things, like, you know, because also we was at Redan, so the teachers was rude, like,
Definitely in the
wrong way, though, like, nah, it was teachers that called me stupid straight up, like, you're stupid. So I used to be like, no, and I'll say really harsh things back, and so the students be like, yo, Latif about to say something crazy. So I always execute, and so just like that right there, that ability to not be, I was just fearless, but I also was like, I always used to question people, like, their true intentions.
Right.
Like, we all grew up with that one teacher that, you know, like, she was special. We got home from school. We got to school that day. We always be like, oh, Miss Carter's, like, the best teacher ever. And I always used to think, like, Miss Carter was the best teacher ever because she, teaching was her divine role in life. Like, she felt, I want to be able to give. She might have said that when she was 7. Like, I want to be a teacher.
So I want to pause you real quick, because it seemed like you kind of already had, at that time, honestly, like you already had a lot of confidence, right?
Yeah.
Where did that confidence come from? Like, where did that energy come from? Was it just based off of you just coming from New York and coming down to Atlanta, or is it family related, your mom? Like, where did that confidence truly come from? Because a lot of people don't have confidence like that. Some people have to grow and gain confidence over time, years, right? Mm-hmm. How did it come so early for you?
I'm trying to really answer that honestly. I feel like when I was a kid, I was so sensitive. So I always felt like, I didn't feel like then, maybe I probably did, but as I'm in therapy, they'd be like, you know, I tell my stories of childhood, and the therapist's like, yeah, that's trauma. So I think a lot of times I was with like some real, like I said, Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn family, and I was so sensitive. And it's almost like they were trying to get me to have a harder shell, right, especially my brother and like one of my sisters. In that process, I don't think I had that sort of confidence. I had like a different, like I was confident in other ways,
right,
but not to like confront somebody like, you know, what's up, like you got an issue with me or whatever, like that type of confidence to like strengthen yourself. I didn't.
So basically it was confidence in yourself, I mean, like, mm-hmm, in who you were.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's more powerful than that. A young boy, especially a young black boy. Right, especially at Redan, you know what I'm saying? Being comfortable in your space, because I was the same way too. I was a class clown, stone mound, no windows, you know what I mean? And being comfortable in yourself, and I think a lot of times it's hard to be comfortable in yourself, especially when you're in the inner city, you know what I mean? Because there's so much going on. So I think that's super dope that you leaned in to your confidence of being quirky and being, you know, the person that wants to be. Make people laugh. I think that's a joy. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was times. I remember this story. My brother woke me up like middle of the night. I was like taking a nap. It probably wasn't. It was like 7 p.m., but I was young. It was probably like 12. He wakes me up and he's like, come on, follow me. I'm like, all right. Like, I'm coming. But I'm like dazed. So I'm like, I'll follow him. In our neighborhood, we had this creek. So you go behind the creek, then you get to the next neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I get outside, and there's a kid right there ready to fight me. He's like, yo, my brother will beat your brother.
So that's how I used to be.
And I was like, okay. Like, in my head, I'm like, yo, I'm not fighting this kid. He was ready, too. So he was sitting there, like, puffing. And I'm like, bro, I'm not fighting him. And so I remember, like, those moments gave me confidence because my brother would be, all right, go home then. And I would go home feeling like, damn, I'm a punk. Like, why didn't I fight the dude? Why didn't I? This is all in my head. Like, right. This is what I was like. Why didn't I do it? He said I should have. And so those was like, nah, next time. you know, like eventually that kept saying next time until it was like, nah, I'm going to show you who I am.
Right.
And I think that's what I said with that. Those could be traumatic experiences, but I took them and I made them, you know, almost like these transformational moments for me that I could have said, oh, this hurt me, this, da, da, and stayed in that realm. But instead I was like, no, I'm just be a better person and maybe even show my brother like that ain't masculinity.
So I'm curious, right? Because a lot of times, especially in the inner city, that's not common, right? There normally is a space where we kind of get that from someone, right? Do you think that was just natural, a natural instinct?
No, it's not natural. I think most people will internalize it.
Right.
I think it's like certain things played a part. I think one was we had a lot of all my sisters were very provisional. I mean, they understood the role of providing because a lot of the men in our lives didn't stay there or like show up. And so I used to see that. And then always aim for, like, who I'm going to be. And right. I think those moments, okay, maybe my brother, he's older than me. Maybe he doesn't know it neither.
Right.
So that will, like, make me say, well, let me try to do something different.
Right.
And then my mom was, I mean, she's an angel. She's, like, the greatest person in my life. Like, obviously, like, I'm biased. But it's, like, seeing her, and she would, like I said, hustle, work. But she still keeps the purest of spirits. And
right.
I think that was, like, my mirror. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a... You know, I'm not going to internalize things. I'll just keep moving.
I mean, that seems like that's where it comes from. Like, mm-hmm. I think our mothers, especially the single mothers, single black strong mothers, work hard. They grind. There's no man in the household, so they're embodying everything, right? And they want you to, especially as a man, even for my mom, like they want you to see the power in being a black woman, right? But also get you to understand, like, hey. To say, hey, like, I'm going to take this and push myself forward. You know what I mean? So I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, those are the reasons why wisdom was so strong. I mean, she raised us through Islam, and the principles of Islam are just, you know, even if you're not a religious person, just experiencing Ramadan, experiencing 5 prayers a day, it teaches
right.
you so much. Like, you know, I then grew up and changed those 5 prayers for meditation.
Right.
Like, it's like, but I knew it was a place for him because she showed me it was a place for him. And I've been talking to God my whole life. So it was like meditation is literally just talking to God.
Right, so, exactly.
And then, you know, those disciplines, that's where wisdom comes from. Like,
right.
I think sitting with myself, when you 7 years old, she's like, do salat. She yells at you, yeah, do salat. It's like,
right.
obviously I want to go outside, but then the fact I sat there is reflection.
Right.
So I may not have seen, like, all that being built, but it was like, it was stock.
Right.
So by the time I'm older, I'm like, damn, I got a lot, man. Thanks, Mom.
So now I'm curious. Like, so wisdom comes, the idea or the logo comes in high school. What was the moment where you said, "Oh, I have an actual brand"?
When I was in the cafeteria in 11th grade, I had 40, I think 24 or 40 shirts. I never could remember, but I sold out on that Thursday, and I was like, "Oh yeah, okay." Like it was
got
like
a little bread.
I made money off of something that
right.
just was like, you know, I was like, "Oh, that's infinite." Like I could keep doing that. Like, and so I think those moments is like, "Oh, this is something," and the response, because like I said, I was getting in trouble. I had teachers buy my shirts that
right.
was just like, "Latif, get out of my class." And then, "Hey, Latif, let me get a." And it's like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Like, how does those two go together? Like, I never understood that. And
right.
until later, obviously, with reflection. But those are the moments. And then it was like a complete, I guess you call that downhill, not an uphill. Because uphill is a little challenging, right?
Right.
Downhill is like, it's just moving. So it was a downhill thing. I was like doing fast shows at Valdosta State. I was doing career day in 11th grade. One teacher, he's a hater. His name was Mr. Corker. I don't forget him. He had a
you never
head.
Forget the hater. You never nah,
he,
forget the
he
hater.
He took my bag because he seen I was making money. So he takes my bag. And then I'm like, you killing me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, that's the version of getting suspended now, taking my money or my bag. Like, that's what that was. Right. I went to the office, told Miss Boger, who used to religiously suspend me. I was like, yo, I'm doing something positive. I'm selling these T-shirts. She was like, let him do it.
Right.
And then he looked at me so salty. Like, he was like so mad at me. But what I did, though, I went to the principal's office and gave him a hoodie. He was like, thank you for letting me sell in your school. It's been changing my trajectory. Mm. And so, like, I figured, like, when you have adults that are around you when you're young that don't understand, like, don't really love their job and love what they're doing, or just, I don't know, maybe it's something about the choices they made. They reflect that on you. And I was very keen of that. So when they would do that to me, I was like, okay, whatever you're trying, like, you taking my bag is not the end all. Like, I'm going to figure out how to figure this out, because I know this is coming from hate, not a pure place.
And I think that's life, right?
Yeah.
Like, in life, we, regardless of what we're doing, or regardless of what uphill battle we're going through, you're going to always have individuals that are going to show that type of energy, right? And it's up to us to say either we lean into that energy or we lean away. You know what I mean? I think sometimes the best way to do is to attack it with kindness. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we're not taught that way, of like how to attack certain things with kindness. And that's difficult, right? When it comes to attacking people that are trying to treat you a certain way, to trying to get you to react a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So I think that goes back to like how you were raised and how the energy of your sister, your brother, and your mother put into you. So I think that fire.
Yeah, and I think that's, you're 100% right. And, you know, that journey is also the universe. It's like, maybe take out the person. Like, yeah, it's Mr. Corker. Yeah, I could be mad at him, but the lesson.
Get another person, too. It's called,
yeah.
It's, and honestly, I believe this. That's testing, too.
Yeah,
right?
It's like,
are you going to say, oh, man, I'm just going to let it go and let not even sell no more T-shirts? Or I'm going to lean in more. You know what I mean? I think those are spaces where the universe, God, is testing your faith and your ability to say, hey, can I truly lean in to this journey?
Can you do it, yeah.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, you're going to keep it 100. A lot of people fail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it goes back to the teacher. That's why he felt a certain way, because maybe he had an idea a long time ago.
But you know, his lesson in that is to see this kid be resilient.
Right.
To teach him, like, you should, it's not a you should or you should do this right now.
Right.
What do you want to do?
Right.
Like, that's a proper way of, like, oh, I see what the universe is. He keeps bringing me this again. So it must be like, make a change, because you told me you want the change. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So you went to Valdosta State?
No, I did not.
What did you say, Valdosta?
Oh, I used to do fashion shows up
okay,
there.
That was just like something you used to just do?
Yeah.
How did you get to that?
My homie Julia, Juliana, she, I don't know how I even met her. All I know is, it must have been my sister Blake. She was upperclassman.
Okay.
So she had friends that were like, oh, your brother's doing this? Tell him to come to our school. Like, and so it was opportunities, and I would always go. Like, especially when we was young, so we was on college campus.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what we was doing.
Gotcha.
Like, I mean, it's a vibe. Yeah. We was out there just, like, having fun.
Having
I was
good
with
time.
My nephews, and, you know, that's how we started. It was just all together, and then we would do the business things and also have fun. It was, like, crazy. Always good experiences. Like,
right.
I'm just thankful for that those opportunities.
So, for me, I always like to, of course, there's always the positive stuff that's happening, right, in the journey. Right, we always push the positive on social media, and we always see the good things, right, which are amazing, right? But I'm curious to know, this, you've been on a journey, right? So that was when you was high school, the first, that was what year was that?
Well, I graduated 2013.
So 2013, we're in 2024 right now, right?
Yeah.
So that's almost what, 11 years, almost, right?
What?
So the glasses didn't come until when?
2021.
Yeah.
So
clearly, there wasn't, you were still probably creating, but it wasn't getting off the way you wanted to go.
Not all the way.
Right? So, what's that mental look like for you at that time, right?
Around?
Just from, like, before the glasses popped off, right? I guess maybe you trying to figure out what your staple is or whatever it may look like. How did it look like, and what did that mental look like, and how did you keep pushing forward? Because, like I said, that's 10 years, 11 years, right?
Yeah.
And the glasses didn't come to 2021, so, like, what was that space like there for you?
Well, one thing was, it's like moments that let me know I should be on this path, because I'll be like, you know, okay, fuck this, let me get a job. And in the job, it becomes these moments of the manager, yo, I see you going to all these pop-ups and these fast shows, just go. Like, I'll put you on part-time. And I'll be like, okay. he's like
perfect.
I'm like, okay, bad.
Make
okay.
a little money.
It was
go
like,
to pop-ups.
They will always understand. So I'm like, damn, like I'm trying to go another way, maybe to get a little more financially secure. And the universe like, no, you got to do this. And so it just kept putting me back there. But it was tough. Like, you know, I went from, we was in my mom's garage printing shirts. We had a sweatshop in there. It was like, I had my homie Maui pull up from west side of Atlanta. He's like, bro, you got me in Stone Mountain, bro. I don't know where the fuck I'm at right now. Like,
but, you know, west side people do not like east side. They do not like the east side like that for.
He hated it. He used to always, like, he just talk shit the whole time. But we would be in there. We used to do events together, so like we had to figure out how to buy a venue, make the money back from the venue, from the door, then do a pop-up, then also put a music show on. But it was like, it was a beautiful struggle because we were like just doing things. It was outside creating culture every day, influencing other people to join it, do the same thing. So it was like, it was hard, but those moments kept me going. Like, oh, this night was amazing. Oh, and then even like, I named like a few things I was like, oh, shit, this works. It was moments of, what were we in, 20, you said 2010, let's fast forward. So 2014, first of all, was like, if he was in Atlanta in 2014, it was just, this is before everybody blew, and also you had the creative scene, so you had like Black before he was going, where he went. State. But like, these like, kids that you don't know who they're going to become. So you just, I'm just around that. And I never like swayed from what I was doing throughout the whole damn maze. And like I said, the moment that I was like, oh, this works, was like doing key. I used to work with rich kids. That was the first people in Atlanta that was like, yo, he said, where's the heart? So he's where's the heart? So I was like, all right, like, y'all fuck with us, we fuck with y'all. So we used to go to the west side, and my brother's like, yo, where are you going? Like, panicking, like, why are you going to that street? I'm like, I'm telling you, this is going to be like a it's good. It's transaction, we good. And we get there, he always pulls up, he got his gun on him, he's like trying to protect me. He's like, oh, okay, good. I'm like, yeah, I told you. It was with the, and then he ends up doing photo shoots with Rich Kids, and then Christina, she was their manager at the time. I got to shout out Christina because the big moment for me is like being her friend in Stone Mountain, doing like small things here and there, management, whatever. She was one day, she's like, yo, Latif, I think I went and did a help that a Post Malone pop up with Key, you know, Key. Yeah. So shout out to Key too. Key's Open Door. Christina said, you know, I got this opportunity. I'm going to get you in contact with Key. I was like, oh, I just met Key. And so I get the call that now I'm in my mom's garage, like, oh, remember. It was Key. She said, hey, this is Latif. She's like, oh, you came to the pop-up. I really appreciate you doing that. 21's in town, so I was wondering if you want to collab with him on the merch. And I was like, come on, son, what? At the time, I was like, oh, duh, I want to, like, I was, yeah, of course, like, we get that popping, we get that going with that, you know what I mean? So then we put it together, and then we get to the concert. We setting up, like, I designed the shirts that night because I was that excited, and it was hard. It's because I sent them, and it was like, this is perfect. And I was like, I know. And so I went to the concert, I got there. And we was at the merch booth. Now, all I remember is the merch booth starting to crowd around. They start seeing my shirt. Sales started happening. It keeps going. I was like, oh, shit, it's working. Sales out. And they have all their tour merch with 21's face on it and like all these just abstract designs. We sell out first. And Key, I'm telling Key, like, oh, we sold out. We're done. Like, this is crazy. She was like, keep it. And that was the first moment I was like,
got some
money?
Keep the money?
I was like, bet. So it was like, oh, this return is real. Like, that work I put in really has that return on it. And those moments was like, oh, keep going. Because sustained me for the next journey, for the next thing. And
it's just leaning in. And I think
leaning over
in. And I do want to, beautiful story, right? But I do want to, you know, say that it's difficult, right? It's difficult to not know, You know what I mean? And sometimes you don't see the end of the, you don't see the light in the journey, right? You got to keep leaning in. You got to keep focusing. Stay locked in, you know, because at the end of the day, the faith that you have, but also faith in the product, right? At the end of the day, I tell people all the time, you can have faith, but if your product is not popping, it doesn't matter.
That's what Steve Jobs says that.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I just want to be honest. It doesn't matter if you have all the faith in the world and you just you work, you got the you the best hustle in the world. If the product doesn't, it's not sustainable. You may get a little push for a year and two, but we're not building companies for 2-3 years. We're trying to build multi-million-dollar companies.
And it's like if your product can't go for free and people are excited to get it, it probably doesn't work.
Right.
And then if your product, if your friends when you start are like not supporting it, or like if people around you, it's also a sign like it may not be that thing. Try something new. Like the reaction I got was like, oh, this worked. That's what it was like, proof, and it was faith. It was like it's working, but
it goes hand in hand. Because if you have a good product, you have a little faith, and you keep pushing, God gonna give you. He gonna give you some pieces, some crumbs. You know, to keep you locked in. And it's difficult, like you said, it's difficult because you say, like, do I need to get a job? I mean, I be getting paid. I got all these things happening. You at the crib, your mental is going crazy. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's very difficult, but it's also important to stay faithful.
Because I want to piggyback off that, because those nights, like, man, those nights when you don't know what to do, like, you're like, man, this don't work. You might cry. You might be like, you know, also people don't, the people around you may not really get it. Like, a lot of people be like, maybe stop working. Maybe do, and you're like, you have no idea. Like, it's not just that simple of stop working or, you know, dissociate yourself with the brand. You're still Latif. Like, yes, I know that. But it's also this thing. It's like people don't – I'm building something. And it's just – it's not – it's like you can't appreciate the Nikes you're wearing or the car you're in if that person didn't stress out about that logo all night and try to build that company, that Tesla company, that whatever you want to call it, like whatever brands are out there, they was like, I don't want to work there. I want to do this so then people could work there. Like, you know,
exactly.
And then we're doing something I'm passionate about in my life, not just getting a check to pay a rent. Like, what is that doing?
It's purpose-driven. Yeah. Like, you think about all the stories. You think about the Jordan 1. You think about Steve Jobs. You think about Nike. You think about all these different brands. And, of course, they're big conglomerates. Amazing company that we love, we wear their product, but we truly look at the stories is that they struggled. They struggled before they even hit that break. You know what I mean? So I think it's always important if you are an entrepreneur, you're creative, or whatever you want to do, is that just stay locked in. You know, try your best to stay locked in. Try your best to stay prayed up, stay faithful, and also keep people around you that's going to keep you motivated and inspired at the end of the day. Because eventually, I'm just going to be honest, eventually, I'm sure you can attest to this, is that you're going to lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose hope. Yeah. And someone's going to have to tell you to say, nah, you good. Keep pushing. Yeah. I believe in you.
It's like a baby sees you, like if you had your son, you know, you and I'm not going to project that onto you if you're not ready to be a father. But like, if you had your son, he will be like watching you walk and like he'll keep trying. He's not going to say, oh, nah, it didn't work. Walk is not for me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be, like, consistently trying. So people forget, keep trying at that thing. Like, it's not no overnight thing.
Right.
And that's why I said when it got dark and people didn't see me, or like, see what I was really building or, you know, see me for that trajectory, I just, like, I don't, what did I do in those moments, man? I would just, I'll work out or something in those moments, like, to get that stress out. I'll do something that I'm like, I don't do that. The next dude that I'm inspired by says, do this. Read this book. Work out this many times a day. I would try to adopt those things. I was like, maybe this will give me some like hope.
Some type of something. He's like, God help me. Like, I need it. Where you at?
Yeah, like I would. That's where my vices would come in. Like, I always, instead of doing the thing where it's like, oh, man, nothing's working like that. I feel like depression is a choice sometimes, and I say sometimes with like a grain of salt, because sometimes it's selfish. You just like me. What does my brother need, or what is Danny, my nephew, helped me do this? What if I stopped? What would that make him feel like? And I feel like those things can push you out of that trance. So like, I think in those moments, you know, in the past, like, those vices of, like, you could go downhill from here. Right. I would try something else that Right. Like, let me get better at something.
Exactly.
Let me paint all night. Like, right. Something may happen in the painting. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know. Like, I think it's a choice to, like, give up. Like, you right. don't have to do that, and you don't have to wallow in that.
Right.
And, you know, and then also community is strong, too, so.
Yeah, got out of community, and
yeah,
I think.
Have friends around us. Like, exactly. Nah, like, you, this is you. Like, you know, even though
you're
some friends.
You're supposed to be here.
Yeah. You're
supposed to be here. You
and
know
some friends don't. Get the vision either, but they give you something else, or you give them something else. So it's like, you know, it might be like, you be like, oh, I'm trying this idea. Your friend's like, it ain't gonna work. And you're like, okay, I'm still gonna do it. But then again, with the thing they might do that's right, it's like, that don't match you, Latif. And then you be like, what you mean? It's like, I know you, bro. That don't do that, because that's gonna. And right. Sometimes I don't see that, and I take the advice, and it's so beneficial. I'm like, and I see the old self. Ego, like, trying to hold on to that thing I thought was the thing. And I'm like, oh, that's why it's hard to let it go, because I'm too close to my fear. And when you're close to your fear, you need some community.
Time and give you a flowers, man. I think a lot of times people don't understand this journey of trying to build a company is very... very difficult. Like, I don't think I understand. It's very, very difficult. So for you to stay locked in over the past 11 years to say, hey, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to push my journey. I want to give you a flower. So I want us to all clap it up for him, man, just to see that one time.
I'm trying to pin my grill.
I think it's good. Wait. I mean, I think
thank
it's
you.
Like words of affirmation. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be able to hear and people congratulate you, it helps. Keep yeah. things going. You know what I mean? Like, we all need that energy every now and then, regardless 100%. Of how hard we're working. You know what I mean? We need that energy to stay locked in and stay focused, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I just want to give you a flowers for that.
Thank you. Now, before
we go to the milestone, what made you decide to do glasses in 2021?
It was... a few things. One, it was like, that was the go-to doodle for me in high school, and like, was an eyeball, like vision, like to have. I used to call myself Latif Sees It. Like, and when I used to do, like, I used to also direct all my friends, like, yo, Jordan, you do this, Ja, you do this, Fresco, you do this, and be like, you know, you record, he raps, he do. So I used to be like, I see what we need to be doing. I always just look at my vision, I was like, I have a vision. So the perception has been one of my favorite things in art to play with, because it's so dynamic. Like, perception is literally the angles of light, like how we all see the world, almost like we're small. If God is, you know, God created all, we're kind of like smaller versions. And so we see every other opportunity, every other angle possible. And so, like, eyes and vision is like, you need to do so much with that. And so I remember, you know, that just being in the back of my head. But I remember I was at a photo shoot, and my old mentor, Blue. Blue is a character, man. Shout out to Blue. And he gave me... something as a product. I was like, oh, I got a brand. I can make it. So just like, I wanted to journey that. I was like, let me try to make, and I was making clothes at the time, and the cut and sew, and also when you're making clothes in fashion, it's so expensive, especially when you're not making money yet. So it's like you get a quarter of maybe your profits back, sometimes nothing, and you break even. So I was like, let me do accessories right now. Like, I had a little money, so I was like, let me invest in some things that I know will have a crazy return back. Or, like, let me have fun. Really, honestly, that's what I led with, let me have fun for the first time. Because I think I was cutting, sewing, and sweating, and, like, trying right. to figure it out. I was like, I want to make something fun. And so the glasses, I did, like, shoe covers. I did skateboards.
I remember the shoe covers.
Yeah, all types of things, hats, and then the glasses. It was so funny because when I made them, the manufacturing was like, we can only do the sample first. So I did the sample. I got here. It took forever. I got them. And I was like, these are crazy. Can I order another one, another batch? And so they were putting the order in, but it took even longer. So I was stressing about, like, damn, how am I supposed to drop and keep up? So I took this one pair of glasses, and I pit on everybody in Atlanta that I knew. I was just pitting on them, take a picture. So that's one pair being, like, shared. And so I would do that, and Instagram doesn't look like that. It looks like everybody's wearing the glasses. So
take note, strategy.
Yeah, the super strategy, super crazy strategy, not gonna lie, works. And so I did that, and then the crazy part is when they dropped, I had so much, a plethora of inventory, the people that wore them was like, they knew, because it was like, I gotta take them back. So they was like, yo, what them glasses? I wanna get them from you eventually. And so I'll pull up on them and film the transaction, which is kind of, we in Atlanta, that's kind of dangerous. You don't want to do that. But I did that for a little while, and it was just everybody was, some people bought three pairs, some people two, some people one, but everybody. So eventually it was like, where you at? Where you at? And now think about an entrepreneur. Think about where you are with that $40 shirt that you spent $20 to make. This is a $100 pair of glasses each time. So for me, that was my breaking point. I was like, oh, I'll have a product. And I would be like, this ain't, I don't, would I buy this? Like, it's times I was like, this product's great. It's times where I was like, it's not that good. The glasses were just
perfect.
Perfect. And I was like, finally got a product. And that just kept growing. Like, it just kept being that thing for me. And I kept telling stories. And it was finally a break for me that I could dive into my career direction because the product was so versatile and easy. And also, it fits one size fits right. all versus I got to make five sizes in exactly. this one piece, and the mediums always sell, but the XLs stick around.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like that was like, oh, I found something, and I actually loved it. I was like, I love making product. Like, I like the design process when something's in front of you, you can fabricate it, and then it's still there. It's like, right. it's just right there, and you can start right. altering it right there. It's like, that's more fun for me. So, yeah.
Fire. So now, Nordstrom's comes.
Yeah. Right. Right, this is, you want to know the tears. So let me tell you the tears to get there.
Yeah, tell me the tears.
The tears dropped. Like, I was, first of all, in that era of life, man, there was a lot going on. I was in at the time, I was probably in a toxic, I'll call it a toxic relationship. It had healthy parts to it, it had toxic parts. Ultimately, it was connected off of having lack of boundaries.
Right.
With one another. And in that process, it was just on and off. So it was kind of making me real scrambled because I was like, which day we going to break up? Which day we going to? And I remember it just in that mindset, still, wisdom's still right there and it's still working and it's still kind of not working, but it's there and it's building. And I was like, that's my baby. Like, although all this life shit is happening, I never lose my sight off of what I'm building for myself because right. that's me. And that's the investment I gave to myself, and that defines me as a person.
Right.
And so I'm not a value if I'm not, you know, focused on the things that feed me truthfully. And I remember just sitting there looking at, you know, this brand and also being in my new, I had like an apartment that I used like an office space, but also living. And the rent was smacking me in the back of the neck every month. So I was like, damn, this is real. Like, and I hated like the fact I'm throwing away, like I always looked at rent, like why am I throwing away like $1,700 right now? At the last apartment,
it's called adult life.
I was spending 27 at some point. I was like, this is ridiculous. And then I remember like 1 month, it was one of the breakup seasons. I was in that season and I had these things on my plate. One was the product's not really working and now it's a month behind of rent and the second month is approaching. And I was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I've never been homeless. Like, what does this look like? Even though I probably wouldn't have, my mom would be like, you good with me anytime. But in my head, you don't want to do that. You want to, like, keep going. Be a man. Exactly. Like, let's do it. Like, and so in that process, I remember, like, stressing out. Like, I was in a place. When I get to that back on the wall, though, I get excited. So it's different for me. Because I'm like, oh, I don't care what's next. In a way where it's not careless. It's more like I give up control. Like, God, show me. And when I get there, this is where I was stressed out here. I still keep my faith. There's a piece of faith in there still, though. It's like, this is going to work. I don't know how, where, when, and what time, but it's going to pop off. And I remember the second month approaching. Two things happened for me that changed my life dramatically. It was one, shout out to Sherrod. He does God Is Dope in Atlanta. And his brand does phenomenal, like in sales. So He wanted to come on as a partner at a certain point, and I just we just never really got around to solidifying it. And in that process, though, he was like, come in anytime, I'll teach you everything I know. And he did that. So being there, studying, learning from him, taking notes, he's like, try this cell, try this. And it was a part of me I had it was like ego I had to let go of. And also and then also just listening to the wisdom of others. And he would tell me, like, try this cell. I'd be like, my brand's not a cell brand. so it was like that happening and me releasing this sort of control off of wisdom or this idea of where it's at right now. I'm out. Like, that's going to make me 3 months behind. Like, it's done. And so he's like, look, try this cell. If I'm wrong, I'll give you the money. Like, if that's what it is. And he was like, try it tonight, too. You're going to a pop-up, right? I was like, yeah, try this cell there, too. So I was like, all right, I don't got no options. So let's get it. So I tried this cell online. And it was the first time I made, I think, like $5,000 within like 8 hours. Just doing and trying something. Right. And I was looking at that screen like, yo, that's my rent and more. Right. So I was like, oh, and not only that, so. And they said, hey, Latif, we'd like for you to come and do a pop-up for Black History Month and inside the store and a panel. I was like, yo, this is, the universe is wild. Like, this is insanity. Like,
listen, what, like, it's crazy.
It doesn't, you can't make it make sense. It just doesn't. And so, and shout out to Dr. Courtney. He's the one who got me the opportunity. That happens. I didn't pay my rent yet. So I'm still, that's why I was saying the sales online didn't hit yet. I think it's a little after this moment because I had to do something. Something I did is what triggered me to finally do those sales. In the process, me and Chico at the time, me, Tez, Chico, a lot of us, we did the pop-up at Neiman Marcus, and it did really good. I ended up, like, making a few sales, but it was nothing to cover that rent. And then I did the panel the last day of the pop-up. Did that panel, and I had a choice right there. Like, I was like, this was good. Like, I got to express myself, tell my story, but had a choice. Like, Jason Jeter hit me and said, we going to Vegas for the magic show, project show, are you down?
He told me about that story, too. It's crazy.
And I was like, man, I can't afford that ticket or that stay. But you know what I did? I just did it.
No, that's what they told me.
I was on E at the time. I was like, I'm still going to do it. And I went and spent the money to fly out there. First time on the West Coast. And it was the first time, you know, just me and Chico just went. I was like, Chico, are you down? He was like, I'm down. So I was like, okay, if it's us, then we can figure it out. I don't care if I'm ass out with my boy. We good. We gonna figure it out. So in that case, I probably had maybe $1,000, which means that ticket and stay was like maybe $750, $800. So I was down to like $200. Like, I was like, oh, this is crazy. Like, I'm like, what am I? I'm like, this is crazy. So I did it anyway. I get there and I start doing, you know, talking to stores. Jason was like, look, talk to the stores. Don't let them leave. Get that email. Don't let them leave without securing the deal. Like, get all those processes down. And I was like, noted. So I did all that. I was like, yo, this is my brand. This is it. Let me get your number. And taking pictures, making sure they like me. I was like, you're going to love this brand when you leave this table. And then I stayed up all night. We had it was a 50 Cent concert. And Chico's like, well, we got to go. I was like, yo, I'm sending the last email. So we was tired from traveling. We didn't get no sleep yet. He fell asleep. So I was like, I'll just wake him up when I'm ready. But I'm emailing and I pass out like at the laptop. Wake up next morning, get back to the grind. We get back to the, those centers they pit. Those
events. Exactly
centers.
What you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it.
It's the centers. I can't remember. But we go back there to go back to the project show. Get back to Atlanta. I'm like, yo, I still don't have enough for rent, but I got 30 new stores, so we're going to figure this out.
So I'm coming.
Nobody buys. Nobody. So I was like, yo, this is, like, what? Like, I guess I got to give up. This is me quitting.
Yeah,
I was
about,
when you say giving up, this was that for me. I was like, oh, this doesn't make sense anymore. In that process, this is where I think all those things I just did dug this it was like the form of me digging a ditch. Like in the Three Kings, they dig a ditch and God's like, it's gonna rain. Like dig those ditches anyway. It's not showing signs of the rain, but still dig them out. I think me flying with the last bit of money I had, like having that faith is what made what happens next happen. And right, those few days is when I learned to do the sales. So that's when I made the 5,000 in 8 hours. I was like in the house pacing back and forth, like the sales won't stop. Like, I was like calling friends like, yo, I figured it out. And then I also, a few days later, got a call. This call was crazy. So this call was somebody that was watching me in the audience during the Neiman Marcus panel had to be tied to a buyer at Nordstrom. So it was one thing connected all this is a mirror that works at this company called Folklore. I met her at Fifth Plaza and Merge. She was connected to that. And then the person that was watching me sent my contact over, and they asked me a question on the phone. He said, does Neiman Marcus carry you? I was like, I wanted to lie so bad. Like, you want to sound good in business sometimes, and you have to fabricate shit. So I was like, they don't carry me. We just did a pop-up. He was like, well, we'd like to carry you, so can you send over your line sheet? And Nordstrom, like, that was it.
Y'all clap it up, man.
That was crazy. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think, we're going to keep 100. I think that was a good decision. Not a good decision, but Neiman Marcus wouldn't have been a great decision at that time for you, right? Nordstrom's is their ecosystem and foundation is built more better for small businesses, up-and-coming designers and things of that nature. They're going to actually help you scale and get to the next level.
They've been on that.
That's their whole ecosystem. There's a whole energy, and God works. God knows what you need in order to get you to the next level, because Neiman Marcus may not have brought you in, but it might not have been a great fit at that time. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing, man. I think that's a beautiful situation, because I'm sure that puts you in a better position.
Yeah, way better now. That's why I went and had the 2700 rent. I was like, oh, I can get a better spot.
Right.
But those right there was like the test. Like, oh, this works. You just have to have a supreme faith. And one of my friends, she's here, Nadia, she sent me this book called The Game of Life and How to.
Right.
And I'm like, I know, okay, how do we like communicate, right. Like how we link up, like make it happen. And so that book really, so I encourage anybody to read that, even watch the audio book, is The Game of Life and How to Play It. I think it's by Florence Welch, something like, no, yeah, I think so.
Right,
I got to get it right.
But nah, man, I think that's a beautiful thing at the end of the day, man. I think being able to hear different stories of how people get through situations and be able to push forward, and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know what I'm saying? There is a space for us to be successful through our trials and tribulations that we go through every single day. You know, we all have trials and tribulations, but it takes just focus and just faith and family and friends and community to be able to lock in. I guess before we end, what's some advice you would give to, entrepreneurs or creatives, or even if you're trying to be a creative and want to be an entrepreneur, like, what advice would you give them to, stay locked in, or, get to that dream that they aspire to be at?
I always say, do the thing that inspires you the most, like, that you, if you could think back to, like, when you were 7 or 12, I don't know, whatever that age was for you, it could be 21, it could be 35, but that thing you want to do, and you probably don't feel confident enough to do it, or you might be like, how do I pay the bills with that? What does it look like if I just stop doing this for the people around me? And I feel like those things are your divine highest self-expression. So I feel like you lean into them fearlessly and be scared, whatever. Like, do all the scared shit. Like, it's a part of it. Literally, fear teaches you, that the outcome or the thing that you're afraid of is just something you haven't tried yet. And so it's just like showing you, it is inevitable to feel scary, but it's like, might as well do it, because life is not linear. It's like a full journey. So like, if you don't do it, your life's going to go some other way, and it's probably not going to go the way you want. You're probably going to feel way worse if you don't even try the thing to say, oh, it didn't work, or it did work. that's big advice, and I will always say, and then study, like, you know, I always become a student in some way. Like, I'm learning the EDI compliance I told you about, which is that term
shit
is crazy.
Is crazy.
And that's just how you get a better format so these stores could pay you. And that is like, I look at it like eyes open, like, what the hell is this? And then something else. I'm not gonna remember it. I am gonna remember. It's the UPC things, like
the UPC crazy too. Yeah.
So this is an insight to if you got a product and you're trying to get in stores, it's these numbers that you go to Walmart and Kroger and you look at the back of their package and it has a barcode on it. When you're in stores, you got to have that for each fucking
every
product
single
you got.
SKU.
Yeah, and it's like, I was like, what the hell is that? I remember like, bro, what? And I then YouTube University. You got somebody who's like, here's how you get cheap ones. Here's how you get official ones that work no matter what store you work with, like Nordstrom. And I was like, let me get the official one. It's a little more costly, but it's foolproof. And then, you know, sometimes you don't worry about saving money. No, like, your brand is doing right. You need to, money's like, I think if we change our perspective of money, I think you see yourself start to be in the surroundings of it, because it's like water. It's like currency. It's like a current. So if you allow yourself to stand over here when you know the thunderstorm's coming, you can hold a bucket out and get that money. And then you realize, like, oh, if that's water, that's going to eventually go into the grass, which then goes into the atmosphere and comes back. So money's like a flow. So in parts of life, I feel like you can live $1 million lifestyle, and you're still gonna have $10,000 bills, and you know $7,000 this. If you live $1,000 lifestyle, you're still gonna have $700 this, $800. So you're still cutting to the point. You're like, what's next? Right. So it's just up to what type of life you want to live. Like, it's, and that helps you see, like, you're no better than that person just because you're a millionaire. And that person's like, it's like, it's whatever you want. It's more problems this way too.
Right.
So it's that's what I'm learning. That's what I'm actively learning, and also like really coming to grounds. I've never been without in life. God has always been like, I got you. In moments where I have, it could be zero in the account, but I'll be in a big house or I'll be in a good position, or I might just have my car, and it's like, bro, you can move around today. Right. You have something. You always never ass out completely. And I thank God for that, because I think that's him showing me this is your path, though. If it wasn't, I'd probably have you ass out so you could try something else. Right. So I think he's telling me to keep going. So,
no, yeah. I think that's beautiful, man. I think to add to what you're saying, man, it's just if you have a dream or you have a something or and use your community to vet the idea, right? And I think if you do that, and it's a good idea, you stay locked in, you stay focused, you stay faithful, I think that that could potentially be an opportunity for individuals to see success, right? And back to your point of money, it's like, it's hard, right? Because we're taught in society that money is how we eat and how we live. We're not taught to have the perspective of money comes, money goes, right? Money is always money, 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 money. You gotta eat, you gotta use money to eat, you gotta use all the things to do, whatever, with money, right? But at the same time, is that that's not how God thinks at the end of the day. You know what I mean? I think there's all a journey for all of us, and I think we all can curate our own journey, and I think it's up to us to try to figure that out by living our best life, and that through community, through this understanding and more awareness. And I think that we deserve it at the end of the day. We all deserve it. We all deserve everything. I'm a true believer of that. But in order for us to get that, I think that it's up to us to lean into it and figure out ourselves first. Like, we have to be okay and be confident in ourselves and be aware of ourselves. And if we have all those things, I'm a true believer that God will take care of us. So with that being said, man, I want us to just give a round of applause for Latif.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We appreciate y'all spending this hour and a half with us, showing love to him, man, showing love to the brand. If you have not purchased the brand, please shop. Shop on Nordstrom.
You got questions?
Holla. You know what I'm saying?
Be asking questions.
So, yeah. We're excited, man. We appreciate y'all. Love you. Anything you want to say before we end?
Yeah, I was going to say if we want to do some questions because I wanted
I'm sorry.
I wanted to give away something. So
yeah,
I
let's do some questions. We'll do a couple questions and we rock. Yeah. Go ahead, my brother.
Okay. Got to introduce yourself.
She got you right here. Introduce yourself and let us know what you do.
What's going on? My name is O'Shea Hollins. I'm an artist. I'm a painter. Has there ever been a point in your journey where you wanted to stop or you felt like this wasn't going the way that you wanted to?
Yeah, so first shout out to you because you came to, was in New York. You brought me to the Air Force Ones. He painted. It was solid. It was crazy. I was like, oh my God, he brought me a gift from my life. So appreciate you. And then check out his shoes because they were crazy. And I wore them during Fashion Week. And
Good shit.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel like I brought one up about the, you know, just like being ass out almost with the Vegas trip. And, like, then coming back home and no stores hit me back. That was a big one. But another time that was probably earlier than that, oh, man. And, you know, this was a darker tunnel because, you know, this tunnel I went down was one of, like, it changed my life, I think. I realized who I needed to be around. Like, I remember I had a lot of people stop me when I was younger to, like, incite wisdom in me. Like, Latifah, I see your spirit, but the people around you don't match that spirit. So how long are you going to do that? And they used to, like, ask me as if I was like, oh, yeah, I'm just doing this for a little while. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. So I used to be like, all right, like, thank you. Like, I'm here. I'm trying to listen, but I don't get it yet. And I just was around the wrong people, and eventually, I went to jail, and it's crazy because I was around, the people that were around me were more. It makes sense, but in that moment, I remember sitting in the cell and like, whoa, like, this is what it, because you hear the stories, but you like, damn, I ended up here, like, what? Like, is this my teachers were telling me, like, this is the end for me? Like, is this it? Is this where I was destined? And I think in that moment, it taught me something. It taught me how to adapt. I was in there, and I just started reading. I started working out. And it's crazy because I had a cellmate, and he was just the same personality, ethnicity, too, which is crazy, as my best friend at the time, Nate. And so he just reminded me straight of Nate. So I felt like I was in the cell with my friend Nate. And he was just, like, cool support, like, real solid dude. He was telling me his story. He missed his wife. It was all this stuff. And I was just, like, I remember being in there and then going, I'm done, like this is the end for me. Like, I don't know where to go. And I had to, it was one broke my heart. My mom was supposed to come visit me, but they gave me a TV to see her through. So I was crying, like, I was straight-faced when I seen her because, you know, you can't cry. I was like, and then I got in the cell, I was bawling because I was like, damn, like, this is me. This is my life. And when I got out, immediately, like, not even 2 seconds out, my mom could tell you this, I just started working on my brand. Like, I was like, no, I don't want nothing else. And I think though, that dark moment right there is like, you know, I don't know where to go. I didn't know what to do, how I was going to get out of this. They end up giving me, I was in Rockdale County, so it was very racist. They gave me 15 to 17 years probation. That's not even heard of. And so it hindered my traveling. I had to say, hey, I'm going here. And they had to say approve or not. So I was just like, bro, I was just turned 21. I was like, bro, like, is this just destined? In my head, I'm like, this is what black men go through. Like, this is, I couldn't even avoid this. You know, it just happened.
How long were you down?
Now it's going to make me sound like, oh, you just, that's all you did in there? You talking this crazy?
Hey, it'd be like that.
It was a week, but the week was long as hell.
Jail feel like forever, bro. Like, I don't care.
Look, jail is jail at the end of the day.
Hey, one day in jail feel like forever.
1 hour, it don't matter. The jail is jail. You did that. You did an hour? Light time.
But to be fair, I didn't know when I was getting out. So it became a week, but it could have been however long. I had no idea. So that's just in my defense. And so, when I got out, that was, I couldn't see nothing from there. And I also was like, you ain't getting a job or anything, like going to college, you're through. Like, they put an F on my report card, you know, like on the judicial system report card. And I was like, damn, this is how God works, though. After going through the whole process, this is 2015, After getting out of it, I realized as a first offender, you only can spend 5 years on probation. So they wiped it off my record. And not only that, as a first offense, you can get it wiped off completely. So the F came off my report card. And I was like, yo, that's God again telling me, like, I needed you to see something. And I think it was just to push me to, like, I was not aware of who was around me, like, at all. I think I was just, you know, not listening to what people were saying to me. They were saying the things I didn't want to be around, but then I was just like, oh, I'm invincible. I mean, I'm good, so they could do that. I'm going to still come out of it. And no, it was like, no, you're not that. I'm about to show you you're not. So I think those choosing to adapt and not quit in that moment is what made me in those moments, and which was reading, which was working out, which was saying, oh, you're just like my friend Nate, and seeing that perspective. Like, and then going, I'm going to just talk to this guy. Instead of like, man, fuck this. I'm gonna, like, then like, don't talk to me. You're like causing an issue because I'm so sad or hurt. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Fire.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hi, my name is Kasai Marie. Thanks for being here. I work in marketing. I have a lot of questions for you, but I think if I just limit it to one, it would just be, can you define what self-discipline means to you? And how have, like, can you give examples of how your self-discipline has shifted and evolved throughout the different milestones in your career? And then what's next for you?
Okay. Self-discipline is key. I feel like, once again, I learned it from my mom raising up. Didn't want to do it, and I also, you know, I'm a big fan of boxing, so I box and train. And shout out to my friends Tito and his brother Najee. Like, their dad let me come in the gym for free and just train. And rest in peace to Hakeem Tito. He passed 2020, but he was the same person that said, "Who are these people around you?" And then he also trained me, and he would incite in me like, "Bro, you are this type of man." And I don't, like, and he would continuously do that to the point I believed it. Like, and so, you know, I'm saying that to say just the self-discipline for me is all embedded into those moments, and also understanding, like, discipline is doing the thing you hate like you love it. I used to listen to Mike Tyson a lot about that. I love listening to Mike Tyson. He has, like, wisdom for days. But you know, those... And I do feel like the discipline defines you. Like, you can make... I remember I meditated in 2019. It was at 16, actually. I went on a spiritual journey. And in that journey, it took me probably to 2018, I guess, to like, fully be engulfed in it and see the results. But I used to meditate multiple times a day. It was all because I read about the third eye and the pineal gland. I was like, damn, this is interesting. We got a third eye. And then I read about fluoride in the water that kills it and calcifies it. And then I read about the chakra system. Then I read about astral projection. I started becoming a nerd, and I started buying books and sitting there for hours meditating, and then also feeling the fear of sitting there with your eyes closed and not knowing if somebody's going to grab your head or some shit. It's like, and so... all those things taught me supreme discipline because I sat there and worked on myself before I even knew what that even meant. Like, I was meditating on things and ideas of myself and who I thought I was and my chakras and reading. Oh, the sacral chakra is about pleasure. It's blocked by guilt. What are you guilty of? And letting that energy be released. And then you finding out, I was guilty for pushing this kid over when I was 7. I've released that guilt. And now my pleasure of, now I can enjoy life. Like, now I can say, I deserve. Because I was holding on to that. So I did that before I even knew the results. And when I seen later what those results were, I was like, wow, that was damn near a roadmap I gave myself. So it taught me you could scope yourself out if you sit down and, you know, adopt yourself to some form of self-discipline. It puts value on you. So now, you know, you walk into a room, you know what you are. You know, you stand on something, you are full. So it's like, no one can take that from me. It can take your money, like your clothes, your girlfriend, whatever. It's like, you know, but I know what I am and who I am, and that can't be moved. If you put me in the... throughout my path, I think I learned that when I reflect onto people. And, you know, when you bring people close as partners dating, they reflect a part of you, and so do you. So I will see things I need to gain and learn, but also I see the things that I built for myself and see it not in this person. And then I realize my value. I'm like, wow, that was a lot of, I put a lot into that. This person is inciting in me. That's one-on-one. I never heard nobody tell me that. And I'm like, I thought everybody was doing this. Like, and so those is moments that gave me self-value, so appreciate those people. And then what's next for me is a 20-stop tour with Nordstrom. We did 3 stores, now we're doing 20. And so that one, yeah, thank you. That one's crazy, not going to lie. I'm still wondering how I'm asleep and, like, who's paying for those hotels, but we're going to find out if Nordstrom doing it. But, yeah, that's what's next, and that's fire. What discipline is to me.
So my name is Dr. Lulu, and I'm new in town. I'm new to Atlanta. I met you earlier. I when you were telling us your story, I'm also a storyteller, so I do focus on the words. You said something about when you were younger, and there were some people, I think one person, who actually was a positive influence. I want you to talk more about that, because we tend to focus on all the people who are not. But I know, because I happen to be a pediatrician, that there's always one. So who is the one? I think you mentioned them in passing, but I want you to go back there, because they had something to do with who you are now, because they believed in you then.
Yeah, I want to give it to my mom fully, because she was, I would come home from a suspension or like another call from home, another, like this student in your household in grade 10 was absent, you know, on the phone when you had a landline, and she would know, one, she'd be pissed off, like, come on, it's like, duh, like she's mad at me. But the second part is she would be like, you're not fitting in that class because you like to draw. You're not fitting in there because you like to act. You're not fitting in there. She would incite these things in me where I knew that deep down, but it would be like, the teachers don't know that. So I'm like, I'm happy you see me. And that made me like, that would damn near make you invincible, because then it cast out the whole world. My mom said this, you know. So that's one. That's the first one. But Hakeem Tito Lopez, him stopping me that day and was like, who are these people around you? They don't reflect you. Like, and then inciting that in me, and then training me in boxing, and telling me you're gonna fight in that ring. And when he passed before I got my first sparring match. And I went into that ring one day in the gym, went to train, and they stopped me. And the dude I seen train in the ring all the time, he's like, "You spar?" I was like, "No." Then my homie Tito and man, what's his name not coming to me? They got me to, they put on the guard on my mouth and like put the head wrap on and tied my hands up. Before you know it, I was like, oh shit, I'm about to fight. And butterflies flaring up. I'm like, yo, I'm like, am I ready for this? Like, and as soon as that bell rings, I remember Coach. And I remember him telling me who I was. And I was like, I'm winning this fight. And I think when I got the first punch, it taught me like either he's going down or I'm going down. And that was like a huge reflection of life. Like, are you going to fight back or just let shit kill you? And so when I started swinging back, I did not stop swinging. I was doing everything I had. So I won the first round out of breath. It was like, Latif, you killing it. Goddamn, what the, I didn't know you had it. And so the second round comes, and I was like, all right, trying to take it up. Like, no, you got 2 more rounds. I was like, what the fuck? So I'm like, they put it back on. I'm like, all right, we're gonna do the 2 rounds. So I get in there, throw everything I got. Second round, I'm good. It's like, yo, this is good. Like, you killing it. Laughing at the other guy because it was the cousin of him. So he was like, damn, like, what happened? Like, why you ain't swinging back? Or third round, I go in there again. And this, I learned, the room was like black at this point. I couldn't see nothing. But I was swinging, and I just learned not to give up. I was like, I'm going to fight my way out. And they told me I won the fight. I leave, and I just go to my car to pump my gas. Like, I usually just go straight home after the gym, and I just puked right there. That is like a crazy lesson he instilled on me. And then lastly, and there's so many more. So I'm gonna say Maya Bailey because of where we at, and then also like the pivotal moment of going to City of Ink and him, you know, I had friends with me that like drew on the walls. We used to go to events where you get graffiti on walls. So all my friends around me thought, well, wherever Latif take us, we could draw on the walls. We was in somebody's his tattoo shop, so we could not draw on the walls. And they came in there like, yo, what the fuck are y'all doing? And so we get in trouble and they all leave. That's what we usually do as, you know, kids. We just run out like, oh shit, we fucked up, let's just go. This is who you are. This is your first time meeting Maya. He done invited you out, especially invited you out to say, who is Wisdom in my city? Like, so I went straight to him and I was like, yo, my fault. My friends came in, drew on the walls, but I taught them that. So I'll come back and clean it off. And then he stops the party and is like, this kid right here, you know, just from him stopping and saying that is just a great thing to do. And I just want everybody to see him and reflect, like, what that means to me. And we became close friends after that. You know, it was like, that's who I want to be. I don't want to run from my problems. I want to face them directly. And I'm never, like, that, I've kept that from, like, getting suspended and going, damn, mom, I'm about to be mad and try to think of 5 different lies. And then you get home and, like, you got to deal with it anyway. Like, just deal with it. And in life, I've always just dealt with it. And, like, I walked straight up to the, whatever you call the devil, and it's like, what's up? Like, let's figure it out. Like, what's the problem? Like, if I can't solve it, then something else will solve it. But I'm going to stand up for it. So those are people that were positive impacts in so many ways that I don't forget.
Fire. We got more question in the back.
I'm Jason. I do a lot of stuff, photography, web design, sponsorships, marketing, whatever I need to do for my business, I'll figure it out. My question is how old were you when you was at your lowest? Because a lot of people, including myself, will be, you know, like 22, 23, 24, mm-hmm. expecting to be at the level of, like, you know, a 40-year-old.
Mm-hmm. How old was I at my lowest?
Yeah, and how did that, like, kind of affect, like, the pressures of, like, you know, continuing?
Yeah, much? So shout out to Jason, that's my boy. But, one was when I was in jail, I was 20, so turned 21 a little bit after that. So that was really low, but that's a complete different path, so that's unique. But at my lowest, I was 27. I would say 27, that was my lowest because I was hit with this thing that showed me, and I think life is all about how you choose to look at things. Like, it could be, things, shit happens, but how you look at it really defines what it meant. And so I remember being in this situation where, you know, feeling what hate looks like for the first time. I don't think I ever experienced true haters till 2020, literally. In that year, I was like, oh, wow, like, I was confronted with so much, like, animosity that had nothing to do with me. It's how people saw me. And so I was like, trying to figure out, like, God, why are you showing me, like, this, right? Like, why are people, you know, coming at me these sideways and, like, you want me to respond or you don't? Because I'm not responding yet. I'm, like, I'm looking at it and I'm walking away every time. And it was bothering me so much, but it then, you know, took it to another level. And that process, 27, was at my lowest, but it taught me who was I looking at as validation. Like, once I learned people, once I learned that people's opinions of me had nothing to do with me, had a lot to do with themselves, it was, like, big for me because I was like, wow, God put me in a position where I was able to see people respond to what they thought of me before actually speaking to me or meeting me or whatever. It was like, oh, well, of course he did, you know. And in those moments, I was like, it hit hard. And that's why I say it's my lowest, because I was like, you know, I based a lot of what I do off of, obviously you make clothes, you based a lot off of the opinions of the people who buy the clothes. And I remember realizing, like, oh, this is actually a blessing in disguise. I'm able to see people from how they see me without any interaction. And I think around that time, I was big on community. But I would shake a lot of hands I shouldn't have been shaking. And so it taught me to be wary of the hands you shake. And that then led to self-value. Then it led to, it's okay to say no. And once you open the no box, it's like your value skyrockets. Like, you know, it's like, because now you know how expensive a yes is. So, like, I think that taught me. It was dark as hell. I was alone in that. I had my sister was there. Actually, all my friends. I wouldn't say I'm alone. Never alone. But it felt alone. And so a lot of times I was like, yeah, this is done. Like, ain't no way out of this thing. And something told me how you want to respond to this. And I looked at myself, and I really went in and asked myself. And I remember telling myself, I don't want to respond. And I was like, I don't know why that is. I just feel that. So I won't respond. And in that process, what light does is crazy. I think that we forget that light reveals truth. And eventually, you know, I feel like when I go to the gym, I think of my body like in this way of like you're sculpting yourself. So, you know, the truth in the situation is you're running on this treadmill. Your body heats up and it starts to shed away the lies until you're chiseled and you're you. And that's who you really are, your best version of yourself. And I'm like, damn, we are light in that case. We are stars. And so I think in those moments of darkness, that's what taught me, all right, this, if I don't respond here, that's truly how I feel. So if my light's going to shine and show who I am, then I'll allow it to do that over time. And I think that patience, when not knowing what to do, but having faith still and saying, I know who I am and I know what I stand for, I'll show that continuously. And that was like a turning point for my life. I think once I did that, I like shut off shaking any random hands. Like I stopped doing that. And I started to think about who am I working with. I was working with people and collaborating with people that, once again, had nothing, did not reflect me. But I thought, like, oh, you're doing this in the city, so let me do this with you. And that just was one of those things that bit me in the ass a lot. And so, yeah, I would say that is how 27 was that age for me, and that's how I seen it through.
Fire, fire. Amazing, man. Thank you guys for the questions.
Thank you. And
TK,
I want to say,
you're going to close us out.
Who asked the question, so.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire, dope. TK, you going to close up? G.
Hello, hello. Good evening, everyone. My name is TK Peterson. I'm the co-founder of The Gathering Spot. I just wanted to personally come up here to thank the Teef and Archie for an amazing conversation tonight. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you.
For those of you who do not know, The Gathering Spot is a private membership club that is rooted in community and culture. We opened doors here in Atlanta, Georgia in 2016, 8 years ago this month. So we'll be celebrating our eight-year anniversary next weekend. I hope you guys can attend. Members, tickets are $40. For guests, a little bit more. And the reason I wanted to come up here is to say, like, this is special. Being able to see entrepreneur on the rise is special. I've been building this business alongside Archie since day one of our founding members who's been here when we didn't even have doors in the building just yet. And it's a blessing to still be here on this journey. And we want to say thank you to all of you all who came to support Latif and to hear firsthand. And I want to say thank you once again for your creative art and energy that you put out into the world. It's special. And I don't even remember when we first met, but you had a welcoming spirit back then, and I greatly appreciated that.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope that I reciprocated that same energy
to you. Yeah, you did. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
Something that our CEO says all the time, Ryan Wilson, is that if you haven't met someone new when you've arrived at the gathering spot, that you're not doing it properly. So I hope that each of you make sure that you reach out to and talk to at least one other person in this room that you did not know beforehand. And if you don't do anything else, please make sure that you go and support the pop-up on the side over there where Wisdom has some of his products out there so you can partake and have some. I have a pair. It's my favorite pair I wear. I don't even need glasses. I got above 20/20 vision. Talk to my eye doctor. But You know, it's a very nice touch. So I just wanted to come here and say that. And thank you all from the bottom of my heart on behalf of the Gathering Spot. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you came here to build, to share in community, to support one another. And I think that we're all stronger together, and all we need is we. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, man.